Robert Plant and Alison Krauss may seem like an unlikely pairing. The lead singer of the great Led Zeppelin meets bluegrass darling, but the combination has produced one of the most effortlessly likable albums of 2007, Raising Sand. As with any meeting, a matchmaker was required in the person of producer T-Bone Burnett, who shepherded the project, helping the duo choose songs. I started my conversation with Alison and Robert by asking him to describe how he first met T-Bone Burnett.
I knew what he did, but I'd never met him, and it was quite a shock when I went to Alison's house on the very first morning in Nashville last year, and I knocked on the door. The door opened, and there's this huge guy.
So you'd never seen him either?
I didn't know. I've got his seat, the last CD he made, where he looks like that. But, I mean, you can't tell how tall he is on the CD cover. But he was quite an imposing guy, but he had the smile of Cupid, And those eyes which were weighing me up and going, is this guy a heavy metal singer or has he got anything to him? Or can he do this or shall I be out of here by 4 o'clock? It's that sort of thing.
Well, as far as you two getting together, we'll use the language of the date. Who called who or was it a fix-up?
Well, I knew, obviously I'd heard Alison singing. And I knew that she, you know, she's a great singer. I never really realized what an amazing character she was. I had to find that out a little bit later on. I got the opportunity to do something in America, which was out of context with the way that you normally just record and tour. Those opportunities are more and more regular for me now, to do various things that transcend the normal routine of playing and touring and stuff. I wanted to see if Alison would come along and join me in something that, so that I could have a partnership with a singer rather than have musicians just singing alongside me. And I approached Alison and she came up to Cleveland where I was doing this tribute, Leadbelly tribute thing with Harry Belafonte and Odetta and Gate Math Brown and stuff, and we tried doing some stuff together, and it was like just like a breeze. It was great. And the thing about Alison is, because she's so from her side of things, if I did some kind of vocal thing, she got it and followed me, and then later on I paid the price because I had to follow her.
Now, Robert, for
it's
you,
true. I mean, it's tough.
for you, the bluesy end of this is not much of a stretch. But for Alison, for you, what did you feel about doing some of the bluesier things on here?
Well, I was afraid, and still am a bit. I mean, I've sang with drums before, but never kind of in that way. It's always been added to whatever I was doing, if that makes sense. And a couple of those songs, or a few of those songs, is about, you know, kind of where you sit and where you you really sing to those drums, where it wasn't something that I necessarily used. That sounds strange for any singer who, if you've grown up singing with banjos and guitars and mandolins, it's a very, you know, you're not laying things back. You're not leaning on things like you do when you're singing with something with a groove. And it was just really, really interesting and really great to bring back to the situation that I normally sing in. Oh, I'm going to lay this back a little bit. I mean, it's just like talking the ABCs to someone who sang rock and roll and blues their whole lives. But I've sang such a different style of music that it's like completely mind-blowing for somebody like myself to sing in a situation like that.
And Jay Bellerose, the drummer, I mean, he's 2 and 4, the snare drum where it drops is so far back. It's so far back, yeah. It's almost like in the previous bar, you know, and that's really, really good. And that was the thing about Bonzo, was that the snare would come down almost like impossibly late, so you could really sing around it. It makes you sing much more seductively, I think.
It's a completely different attitude.
Mm.
If he only hits the snare on Tuesday, what are you going to do?
You talked about it getting comfortable in the studio after you did the first two songs. Rob, what were the first two songs you recorded for it?
I think Polly and...
Nothing. Those are the first
two?
Yeah.
Hmm. The two hardest tunes for me, because they were male vocal parts. I mean, I sang Polly about 395 times, and T-Bone kept coming out and consoling me and walking around with his big paws on my shoulders going, you know, there's a flight out. You can get a flight out. It's quite easy. You know, you can get a flight out. There's a nice Hampton Inns down the road there. But by the time we got to Please Read the Letter, I was in charge for a minute by pushing it vocally and lifting it up, and then Alison coming in with those oohs and dreamy stuff, and the whole thing became like a really, that was the band. That was it.
This is Please Read the Letter from Raising Sam, the new album from our guests today, Robert Plant and Alison Krauss.
Caught out running with just a little too much to hide. Maybe, baby, everything's gonna turn out fine. Please read the letter, I nailed it to your door. It's crazy how it all turned out. We needed so much more. Too late, a fool could read the sign. Maybe, baby, you better check between the lines. Please read the letter, I wrote it in my sleep, with help and consultation from the angels of the deep.
Please read the letter from Raising Sam, the new duo album, we'll call it, from Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. And there are two songs here from Gene Clark, who was, of course, one of the original members of the Byrds and made some great duo albums and solo albums. You mentioned Polly Come Home, and there's also Through the Morning, Through the Night. Now, who brought those songs in?
T-Bone. Yeah, I didn't know anything about them, did you?
Yeah, no. I didn't know anything about Gene Clark, and then I wondered why I hadn't. Hmm. Why? What's wrong with me?
But, you know, I knew about Gene Clark, but I just didn't know those tunes. I suppose everything that I took that was American, I took to England or I absorbed in England. So certain artists, after a sort of honeymoon period with the media or whatever it was, would carry on working, but you'd never know anything about it. I mean, I've made like 9 records since Led Zeppelin, but it's very difficult to find anybody who knows anything about them. But you know what I mean? I mean, it's like people don't know everything that Gene Clark did or Townes Van Zandt, but when you actually bring them out and highlight them like this, you go, wow, these songs are so powerful.
They were so beautiful. Those were my favorites on the on the CD that he had sent of all the material that he loved.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Those two, I just couldn't even believe those. I'm like, ooh, wow. And then as soon as those songs came in, Robert then... I guess, what did we figure out? It was about 5 that Robert had brought to the record. He brought Rich Woman and Please Read the Letter, brought Fortune Teller, Stick With Me Baby, and Gone, Gone, Gone. I mean, really the material came from the two of them, and I went, yeah, that's good.
Now, Robert, where's Rich Woman from? I don't know the song. It sounds great on here.
It was on Specialty. So I guess it was recorded about 1956 or 7 by Lil Millet and... I've tried to source Lil Millet's stuff, and that's by far, that riff there is, I mean, I don't know whether it was Bo Diddley who first did it with Bring It to Jerome or what, but that's a real ancient piece of electric guitar out of New Orleans.
Now, was this one of those you were talking about, Alison, that was a little bit more difficult to get behind the first time?
No, the leads, like... Yeah. Those were more difficult. I mean, I was following Robert. On the ones with harmony, that's a different animal. You know, you just kind of just jump on whatever that other person's doing and just kind of ride along on that.
I think one of the things people remark about the first time is hearing the two of you sing together. And Robert, you're talking about people not knowing your solo work. Well, if they know the last two albums, they know you can use a softer voice incredibly well. And you do that just really naturally. I mean, even on something like Rich Woman, it really works well.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's all about telling the story, isn't it, really, about these songs, about any song. You know, I mean, the whole idea of the stereotypical overview of the media about what a particular guy will do, you know, or is only famous for, it just doesn't make any sense. You have to, the song tells you what you got to do. So Rich Woman is a kind of, it's a moody, seductive, and it's triumphant.
Indeed. Let's listen to it. Rich Woman, the song that begins Raising Sand, the new album from our guest today. We're talking with Alison Krauss and Robert Plant about their duo experience. How long did this all take, the whole process? Were you in the studio a while? Or?
We laid down 14 tracks in 10 days. Then we went away. I went to Mississippi and you went somewhere. And then we went to T-Bone's. And did some more bits and pieces, but
a couple of times, did we? Or was it once?
Yeah, it was never. And there's no feeling of it being like a kind of you got to, you know, we got to do this. We got, because there was nothing hanging on it. If it didn't work, it didn't matter.
It was a very peaceful recording process, just very natural and stayed very positive the whole time. I felt like.
And I think it was, you know, probably the toughest part was, you know, trying to find T-Bone.
That was it.
People who have a kind of a natural idea about what people like, and if people know Alison Krauss a little bit, they know that you are a huge fan of music from the 70s. I think I've taped some things off of Climax Blues Band albums for you at one point.
That was you?
Absolutely.
That was you that did that song for me?
Absolutely. You still have it, right?
Yes.
Excellent. God, they live only like 25 miles from
the
my
song
house.
I Love You?
Yep.
No, I don't know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
No, they come from Stafford in England. Oh. Which is by Wolverhampton. Come on, you wolves.
But that was you that did that for me.
Indeed. Indeed.
Oh, yes. I mean, I have the cassette still.
Hey, shh. Don't let anybody know you.
Hey, that's a great... What?
Shh, don't anybody know about that.
I'm telling everybody right now. I love what I love, huh?
But
it's going to be terrible in England for me.
I guess my point being was Led Zeppelin one of those 70s acts you were into or not so much?
Boy, I was into more of Robert's music later. I was aware of Led Zeppelin through my brother and, of course, just, you know, what came on the radio. But as far as, like, you know, really getting into it, I was aware more of... I was telling the story earlier, my brother had the Robert's records from the 70s in his room, and I'd hear him listening to it, you know, just going, I don't understand how this can happen like this. What's going on? I don't understand them. I can't even believe this is so great. And he would talk about, geez, I can't even deal with it.
There was a blue light coming from under his bedroom door.
But he was, you know, completely freaked out by it. And so I learned about Zeppelin through him. And then, of course, in the 80s, an MTV When Robert came on, there was something very different about him than everybody else. And I loved Big Log, that song. My brother and I just thought that was the greatest thing.
I guess we'll turn the tables in for you, Robert, and talk about your first experiences hearing Allison's amazing voice.
I was drunk. No.
There's another one.
No, there's a radio guy in England who has been reliable for 40 years. His name is Bob Harris, and he is basically he is the Saint Peter of the Church of Alison Krauss. I mean, he plays her stuff all the time, goes on in a very somber and respectful tone about her importance to bluegrass music and to the welfare and well-being of the mental state of the British audience. And I used to listen to him on a Saturday night driving back from the pub. It's through the dark and the lanes. And there's one place I always stop and turn the lights off in the car and, you know, get out. There's an owl in a dead elm tree. And there's Alison singing this kind of wistful stuff about stuff that she sings about. And I thought, wow, this is some kind of chick. I wonder what she's like. Does she have a laugh? And then I turn the lights on and drive home. And I thought, so many zillion light years away from my world at the time, that it's so spectacular that we're such good friends now. And we really do have so many things in common that kind of transcend style. And but they center on doing it, on endeavor, and on taking our gift somewhere really, really special. And that's, for me, in my time these days, it's very difficult to come across people like that, because there's so many smug performers who can just do what they do and they just live on it. And there's a sort of hierarchy of people who've been successful who just have got nothing to do with the spirit of what they'd started off doing. And so it's a blessing to meet, you know, Alison, and to find T-Bone's spirit resolute and hysterically funny and determined and relentless. It's great stuff. I mean, there ain't a lot of it about at the moment.
Robert Plant.
Amen.
He and Alison Krauss have made this wonderful record called Raising Sand, and I thought we'd play one more as we go out. This would be the perfect fall song, and this is Killing the Blues.
Leaves were falling just like
finishing up our session today with Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, and a beautiful example of the harmony you guys sing. Just really beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.